Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio, I have Assistant District Attorney Jean Seaton and paralegal Elizabeth Schaefer here to discuss Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, it is our pleasure. Your focus today is on the criminal process and how it handles perpetrators and also how it handles survivors of domestic violence. Jean, you came here today with a sort of a thick pack of what you wanted to talk about. Why is your focus today on the criminal process and perpetrators?
Well, we'd like to talk about how the criminal justice system, what type of goals they have in prosecuting perpetrators of domestic violence.
And why this focus? Why do you think this is important for people to hear?
Well, I think it's important. We hear an awful lot about victims, as in, why do they stay? Why don't they leave? Why do they do this? Where our focus is on why do the perpetrators do what they do? That's what we should be asking.
It seems like sort of the subtext is putting the burden of justifying yourself on the victims or the survivors rather than demanding accountability from the perpetrators. If I could go a little, you know, off topic there. And so you want to shift focus.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What has been your experience prosecuting perpetrators of domestic violence?
Well, as far as our goals are, the main focus is to hold them accountable for their crimes. And under the Alaska Constitution, criminal administration is supposed to focus on certain things, and the first of those is protecting the public.
Okay, so there's protecting the public. And what is the criminal process when you're looking at at holding perpetrators accountable? What are the steps? What actually happens?
Well, the first step is that there's a report of a crime and a prosecution is initiated. There might be an actual arrest. It might not be an arrest initially, but there's an accusation, a complaint against a perpetrator. And the next step then would be to the adjudication, which would be either a trial or an admission of guilt.
And you mentioned that the broad intent of the criminal justice system, at least in Alaska at this time, is not only to protect an individual or a family, but to protect the public. That seems like a very interesting perspective. And what do you think the implications are?
Well, I think that often people see domestic violence as a family situation, but the goal of protecting the public recognizes that domestic violence affects the entire community.
Do you think that legal perspective bleeds over into the community at large at all, or has the potential to impact maybe community condemnation or just community response to?
I think the whole public process of a criminal prosecution does raise community awareness. It shows that, yes, these offenders are violating the law and they are going to be held accountable.
And Elizabeth, what's your focus as a paralegal? And you've been working, 13 years, I think?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. My focus is, first of all, to make sure that the victim or the survivor is offered services, that they're safe, that they know that they're not just going to be left hanging out there. Excuse me. When I see them, it's usually after a night of no sleep. They're in shock, and it's very hard for them to think, but their immediate concerns are their children. It's financial, about can they stay in their home? Will they be able to? What about the electricity? What about food, diapers, formula? It's very practical and very immediate needs. And will they lose their house as well? Will they be kicked out because of this? So those concerns beyond medical, if there are medical issues, is what I focus on. In terms of how do we make the perpetrator held accountable for the position he's put or she has put their victim in is to see, first of all, and that's always very obvious, if there are medical issues, there are going to be medical bills, saving those receipts. But frequently, quite frequently, there's a lot of property that's been damaged. TVs broken, windows completely smashed out of a car, headlights, phones are almost always destroyed. So there's those financial burdens, too, in terms of restoring property. Sometimes a person will relocate, leave, and immediately, sometimes they're gone the next day on the plane to get away. And so there's relocation processes and costs involved. And that's one of the things that I work with a victim in a case is get all that documentation, save it. There are things that we can do in terms of filing this notice and information in court with this supporting documentation that the defendant needs to be held accountable. He needs to pay this person back and restore as much as possible. The loss. I mean, there is no 100% restoration, and we all recognize that. But at least the attempt is made. And another part as not on the perpetrator part, but just I just make sure that the services, there's the shelter in town, there's Violent Crimes Compensation Board where you can make application for emergency funds. There are social services available for a person so that they don't need to be homeless, so that they can get the formula, so that they don't have to worry about losing their children.
So you help connect individuals to a support network.
Yes, yes.
Well, I wonder, Elizabeth and Jean, looking at the criminal justice system in Alaska, how responsive and effective do you think it is? How robust?
I think that our courts have recognized through several opinions that domestic violence needs to be treated very seriously. I can say that our judges in our community will almost always impose jail time in any domestic violence offense. There's other ways that the courts hold perpetrators accountable. After a conviction, a perpetrator is normally placed on probation, and during that probation, the perpetrator can be ordered to have no contact with the victim as a way of keeping a victim safe. The perpetrator can be ordered to pay the restitution, like Elizabeth was talking about. But one of the constitutional mandates is reformation of a defendant. And so the court can order, and often does, an integrated behavioral health assessment to try to figure out what's going on. Why is this person behaving in such an unacceptable way? And what can be done to help the person? Because we recognize that often the relationship is going to continue. And
you're often looking at cyclical violence. So I think this is a very, very interesting perspective. And it's looking at sort of deep-seated building of health and wellness in the community, which seems to me particularly important.
Right. The court then will keep the person on probation. And if they start to slip up, violate their probation in a minor way, the court will have them back in, try to get them back on track, and prevent bigger problems to come.
And I think it seems also to acknowledge the fact that things aren't necessarily black and white. We're looking at a perpetrator who may have been a victim as a child, of family violence.
Very, very often.
And historical trauma and all these issues that come to a head in individuals and in families. And if we look at it in just very simple black and white terms, we're missing a very important larger picture.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking and I should be letting you talk. We are just about out of time. Any closing thoughts from either you, Elizabeth, or Jean?
I think one of the important things that Jean said was it's a community problem. It affects the whole community. And I have finally gotten the courage that when I see something or hear something that doesn't ring true, I just say, I ask if I see a bruise, how did you get that? And if the answer doesn't ring true, I just say, well, I want you to know I don't believe you. And if you're ready to talk about it. I know how to get you help. And or if you see kind of a an emotional control, I'm learning now to speak up. And I think as a community, that's what we can do when we're with our friends and our acquaintances or fellow workers. Just speak up and say, I can get you help.
Okay. And Jean?
I agree. I think that one of the things we're seeing is that neighbors, family members are willing to make reports to try to help a family that seems to be having problems with violence.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Assistant District Attorney Jean Seaton and paralegal Elizabeth Schaefer about Domestic Violence Awareness Month.